It's over here today because she asked me last week. She says, "Honey, what is worship? You talked about the power of praise and prayer and all that, but what is worship? What is?" I hope to define that from the Word of God. Well, let me give it to you a little cheat sheet. Step ahead, everybody else. This is what it means to worship. Worship is desiring God. Worship is desiring Jesus above and beyond everything else. God sits on the throne of your mind and your heart. You love him. Your heart beats because of him, for him, and through him. It's bragging on God. How great is our God? There's nothing greater than our God. That's bragging. That's worshiping. That's making much of God. I know I'm giving you a lot of adjectives, and I won't try to keep you too long today. But if I go a little longer, can I get an amen? You won't stone me or anything. Of course not. You're a wonderful, wonderful congregation. And I want to let you know that I appreciate your prayers. I appreciate your love. We, both of us, that wonderful woman over there, she's on the phone encouraging people. She doesn't like to be praised, but I like to praise her because I know that's Jesus in her. And it's all to the glory of God. So worship, though, is desiring and bragging on God beyond what I brag about my wife. It is setting God above so that when you hit a problem or you go through something and you need him, you know who's got your back. And that is God. That is Jesus. And worship is desiring God above everything else. And so, Father, as we come now with this sermon and we ask you to teach us about worship, we want to be true worshipers of God. Teach us today, Lord, and we ask for your inspiration through your Son, Jesus Christ. And to him be the glory. Amen. So I want us to turn in our text. This is the basis of the sermon today. And it's Philippians chapter 1, verse 20. We're going to read about the Apostle Paul, who comes to a crucial point in his life. You can ask yourself, what would you do? But Paul, we want to hear from him. Philippians chapter 1, verse 20. He says, "I eagerly expect," this is Paul now, "and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage," and it takes courage to worship, "but that I will have sufficient courage so that now, as is always, Christ will be exalted in my body." That Christ will be exalted. You see, worshiping God is lifting up Christ. He's already there, but it's pointing, says, "Wow, did you see that? Wow, look at what the Lord has done." And what that does, it stirs in us his spirit. Because the Holy Spirit, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, but yet the Holy Spirit, one of the things that he does, the Holy Spirit lifts up Christ, lifts up God, makes much of him. Let me go on. Here, I got a lot I want to say. I'd appreciate your prayers that it would be a brief in what I said. But Paul wrote some things that has come down through the ages that ought to be the basis for our worship as well. Paul wrote this to the congregation, to the Philippians back then. He says, "I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage." It takes courage to worship. "So that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body." What are you talking about now, as always? Where are you going, Paul? You'll see in a moment. "That Christ will be exalted in my body." That's worship. That in your body, my body, as we go about our daily lives, are the loss of life. That Christ will be magnified, lifted high. That Christ will be exalted. I've got a lot of ways that I want to express them, but it's so full in me, I can't get it out. Pray for me. Father, help me. May be exalted in my body. That when people see me, when people see you, they will see Jesus. They say, wow, wasn't that a nice person? Wow, wasn't that? Who was that? Oh, that's my neighbor. Christ will be exalted in my body. Whether by life, we all want to live, or by death. Now that's bold. Now that's worship. He's saying that he wants Christ exalted in his life and in his death. That when he dies, people will see the fruit of the Holy Spirit, how he has lived his life, how she has lived her life. That they remind me of Jesus, whether by life or by death. For to me, Paul said, I don't know about you, but for to me to live is Christ. He says this, there's nothing greater. There's not enough money. There's not enough houses. There are not enough degrees. There's not enough of anything to top Jesus. Everybody wants to get over, but do we really want to get over? Whether it be through life or death, that we glorify, we make much of Jesus. And he says, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. He's saying that, hey, if it takes my death, that long as Christ be glorified, magnified, yet what shall I choose? I don't know what to do, he says. I don't know. To go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I don't know. Philippians 1, 23. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ. Wow. Which is better by far? He's saying for me to die and be with Christ is better by far. Most of the time we're trying to avoid death, and there's nothing wrong with that. To avoid it, to escape it, whatever adjective you want to use, to flee. But he says, I am convinced of this. I know that I will remain, I will continue to be alive, and I will continue with all of you. I will continue with all of you, speaking to the congregation, for your progress. He was interested not just in himself, but for his brothers and sisters in Christ, that they would grow more and more to be conformed to the image of Jesus. He said, I don't know, sometimes I want to stay in so that I can help you get over, become more like Jesus. And I will continue with all of you for your progress and your joy in the faith. And then in verse 26, so that through my being with you, again, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow on account of me. I'll be back here. I'll be here to help you so that you could be a light to your family, that you'd be to your neighbors, etc., and that we would glorify Christ. Worship was on his mind. And worship, what does it mean? It's desiring God above all things. And that's how Paul lived. He desired God above all things so that we would be uplifted, that we would be matured. I have much more to say to you, but I hope that I have stirred in you and myself a desire, no matter the cost, to worship Christ, to brag about him, to lift him high, so that we would really come to know Jesus, and that to make him know amongst family members and others. I want to talk more about that, if you would give me that blessing, next week. And Amen. He won't fail you. No. Put your faith in Jesus. You see, that's worship. Worship is desiring God and nothing else, because we know nothing else matters. And that above all things, you desire God above all things. Oh, we praise you, God. We thank you. And we have the blessing and honor that he came and he gave his life for us. And we're going to eat of the body and the blood of Jesus. I want us to turn to 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. We'll go through probably verse 27. That's 1 Corinthians 11, as we partake of the Lord's Supper. And we examine ourselves. Scripture also says that we ought to examine ourselves before we eat or drink. And I don't want us to examine ourselves today and to see that we not come up short, but we, in faith in him, put our desire in him above and beyond any and everything else. And that we worship him, we brag on him. Yes, that's right. Let me tell you what the Lord did for me. It wasn't because of my righteousness, but because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he'll do the same for you. You see, that we desire God above any and everything else. You brag about a new bicycle or this or that, but do we brag? Look what the Lord did for me. And he'll do the same for you. And we'll cause others to desire God as well. But anyway, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 through 27. For I received, Paul said, I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. See, Paul knew that if he died, it was better. That God was just taking him another step higher. It was better for me to depart and be with the Lord, if that's what God chooses. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he was worshiping God, knowing, Jesus Christ, knowing he was going to be crucified. He worshiped God. He placed God above his life. Paul did the same thing. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. It's for you and for you and for all of us who will receive it, the body of Christ. He says, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Remember who I am. Make much of me. Tell them about me. Worship and praise. How great is our God. And how there's none greater, there's none better. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whoever of you, let me read that again. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner. What's an unworthy manner? You know what it is? It's just a piece of bread. You know what it is? Oh, you know, all this faith stuff, all of this. It's putting, not valuing. Both in our lives and the way we live, there are people who see us and say, yeah, I want to be like that person. Wow. Every time I see them, they're joyous. They got a smile on their face, whatever it may be. And yet you boast not in yourself, but you boast in the Lord. You see, how great is our God. And you come to knowing him, knowing Jesus. And you come and being convicted in your heart of hearts. There's nothing better than Jesus. There's nothing greater than God. And I desire him without any reserves. Or reservations, I should say, that I want him and nothing else. That's why we eat of the bread. We're eating of the body. That's why we drink of the wine. We're drinking of the blood of Jesus. And there's nothing you can buy. There's nothing, if you're a criminal, as they say, You can steal. There's nothing you can get. There's nothing you can smoke. Hello. There's nothing in a change of who God created you to be that can satisfy you. It's only Jesus Christ. It's only desiring him above all things, for he will satisfy you. Paul said, I'd rather depart and be with the Lord, because I know that's where it is. I know that's where the high throne is. So whether to live or die, you know, Paul said, you know, I don't know. We'll find out when I get there. But I want Jesus, and I want to know Christ. I want to know him now in this life, knowing Jesus, because there is nothing better. Don't let anybody fool you. Don't let yourself fool you that there's a better way. There is no better way than through Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, we ask you to bless this bread and bless this wine and bless this word. Let it touch people's hearts. Let it change all of us, that we become inspired, joyous, wondrous of the mighty God we serve. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this, your body. Thank you for your blood. Thank you that we come to the point our hearts are changing and we would rather have Jesus than anything else. Thank you, Lord. Now I want us to listen to a song entitled Knowing You. You say, Knowing You, Jesus.
This world. love.